verse here is Lamentations 3:39. I'm just going to read the beginning part of the verse, because it pretty much says it all right there in the first phrase. It says, "Wherefore doth a living man complain?" Lamentations 3:39. "Wherefore doth a living man complain?" So why should Christians complain? The first complainer was Adam. Remember when he said, "It was the woman that you gave me," talking to God. Complaining is a symptom of a deep spiritual problem. And we'll look through this as we go throughout the message. So turn back to Numbers 11:1. This is where we see the Israelites complaining. Why are you turning there? The people of Israel were habitual complainers. And no matter what, usually somebody was going to be complaining. God had blessed Israel and provided for them and protected them. And still they complained about walking, their leaders, and their food. So let's read in Numbers 11, verse 1. It says, And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the othermost parts of the camp. So the complaining we see was happening in the uttermost parts of the camp. We could probably label these people as the laggards, the people that were always lagging behind. they weren't involved in the activities that were going on in the middle of the camp. They decided to exclude themselves and be on the uttermost part. John Butler says, "Where there is little dedication in life, there is much complaining." So you see these people that lagged behind were probably always the last ones to make it to the camp. They probably didn't have a lot of dedication in life. So can complaining be called a sin? That's the question of the sermon. I say yes, and here's three reasons why. Number one is complaining denies God's sovereignty. Complaining is a surface symptom of discontent. Turn to Acts chapter 16, where we'll read about Paul being thrown into prison. I said complaining is a surface symptom of discontent. So that reminds me of a time where I like to go fishing. And I like to catfish, bass fish, but I really like the brim fish because you get to sit back and pretty much, even if there's no fish biting, you just get to relax and watch the water. So when you brim fish, you have a cork, and then from the cork goes the leader to a hook, and then on the hook is your bait. And the hook, of course, goes underwater and with the bait where the fish have the opportunity to bite the hook. And your cork sits on the surface of the water. And the cork tells you that there's something going on underneath the surface. So imagine complaining as the cork and the bait and the hook underneath the water as the real problem. So complaining is the surface symptom. It's telling you that there's something going on underneath. And what's going on underneath is discontent. So Acts chapter 16, we're going to read here in verse 22 is where I'll pick up. It says, "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them." This is after Paul and Silas were preaching. The magistrates and the people there didn't like it, so they're throwing them in prison. "And when they had laid many stripes upon them and cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that all the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul was in prison because he was being obedient to God. Then instead of complaining when he was thrown into prison, he stayed focused on God's will. The surface symptom we saw come out of Paul was praise and thanksgiving. So we know what was going on underneath, his contentment with God's will and his sovereignty. He knew God's will and was content with it. I'm going to read from Romans 1:21, and I believe the only natural response when you actually know God is to glorify God in everything. Romans 1:21 says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." These people knew God. It says that they knew God, but perhaps they only had a head knowledge of God without a relationship. We stress relationship instead of religion here because that is the key to entering into your promised land. So complaining is a surface symptom of discontent. Complaining focuses on what's frustrating instead of the bigger picture. We exalt the problem instead of the answer. Paul could have cried out in fear and complained to God about being in jail, but he knew God would preserve him. Complaining is always an expression of unbelief in God's word. Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for your good." 1 Thessalonians 5:17 commands us to praise him in every situation, not necessarily for every situation. So complaining denies God's sovereignty. And number two, complaining disrupts Christian unity. I'm going to go back to Numbers 13, another instance where we see the Israelites complaining. Numbers 13 and verse 30. It says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are all well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up its inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." So the spies were exaggerating the problem. They said the giants were too big. But did they forget about God? Did they forget about everything that God had done for them before then? Parting the Red Sea? Red Sea was massive. But he split it right in half, just so the Israelites could walk through. The spies started complaining, and it affected the entire nation. Let's pick up in... we're at the end of chapter 13. We'll go into 14, verse 1. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness.'" Complaining is contagious. It seems to me that when one dog barks, they all begin to bark. It reminds me of my dog, Elvis. He's a hound dog, so we called him Elvis. But he stays in the dog house in the backyard with the three dogs that we have, Elvis, Max, and Tina. And Elvis has a little bit keener hearing than the others. And so if our neighbor comes out in the backyard and begins to work around and move around his backyard, then Elvis is the first one to hear him. And he gets out of the dog box and he walks over to the fence and looks, and as soon as he spots him, he barks. But the other two dogs, they were just fine sitting in their dog house. They weren't bothered at all by our neighbor. But just because he barked, the rest of them started barking. I wonder if they even know why they were barking. I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems, But actually, they have a lot of problems because they complain. Besides, complaining doesn't change anything. It amplifies the problem. And the more people complain, the more it spreads and the worse the problem becomes. So complaining denies God's sovereignty. Complaining disrupts Christian unity. And the third reason, complaining discredits Christian testimony. When you complain, it discredits your testimony. I'm turning to Philippians chapter 2. And I love this book because I realized from somebody's teaching in children's church that this entire book was written from a prison cell. Philippians 2:14. It says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Complaining is harmful to the cause of Christ, and the world is not attracted by complainers. If Paul had complained and did get out of jail, he probably would have lost all influence to those around him. If Paul had complained in jail, the jailer perhaps would have never accepted Christ. If Paul had complained and fell apart under the pressures that life brought him, the people of the world declared, "Where is your God?" So complaining is destructive. People are watching you. When people see you complaining, you might as well take your testimony, ball it up, and throw it away, because you have lost all influence with that friend, that family member, or that loved one that you had been trying to reach with the gospel of Christ. A.W. Tozer says that among those sins most exquisitely fitted to injure the soul and destroy the testimony, few can equal the sin of complaining. So here's some things to remember. Praise is the best deterrent for complaining. We saw that with Paul in Acts chapter 16, and we see that throughout the Bible, especially with Paul. Lamentations 3:39 says that, "Wherefore doth a living man complain?" Be thankful for your salvation. Sinners complain all the time, but they don't even have eternal life. So what's your excuse? You do. You have eternal life. Amen. Instead of focusing on the problem, take a step back and remember all the blessings that God has given you. So, complaining denies God's sovereignty, disrupts Christian unity, and discredits Christian testimony. But before I close, remember, complaining keeps you out of your promised land. We saw that in Numbers 13. But is your complaining keeping your family or your friends out of their promised land? And that's all I have for you.